Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter
how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is.
Got
to obey the word of God. This salvation in Acts 2:38 is not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer. But it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Welcome. Welcome to another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry. This is Evangelist Kathy Montgomery coming to you live on YouTube. Tell someone. Join us. Join us. We come to you every Saturday, some Saturdays. Last Saturday, we took a Saturday off just to be with families for Resurrection Saturday, Sunday. But we come to you live, Lord willing, every Saturday. So let someone know. We teach the unadulterated word, and we come to you live. Just keep us in prayer. We would like to... invite others to join us on the broadcast. If you would like to be a special guest on our broadcast, we are on YouTube and we're on Blog Talk Radio. So if you would like to be a special guest, you could just email us. Right now our website is under construction, but you can send us an email at kogm77@gmail.com. And we also do deliverance. I know a lot of churches don't even get into deliverance, but sometimes you might need deliverance. If you've been struggling with something and you really can't seem to break that off of you, sometimes you may need to get that thing cast off of you. So, yeah, we do deliverance here as well. But anyway, excuse me. Tonight we're coming to you. We're going to be teaching on the Church of Sardis. And the title is The Dead Church. Can I get a water? A little coffee here. It's called The Dead Church. And that's some title, but that's what God called it. He called Sardis the Dead Church. So let's go, let's pray, let's open up with prayer, and let's go into the scriptures. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you. We thank you for another day that you have made. In all things, Lord, we will give you praise. Lord God, we ask that we humble ourselves, that you may be exalted. Lord God, it's not about us, but it's about you. Everything we do is about you. So, Lord God, we ask that you word our mouth, that we will only speak what you instruct us to speak. Lord God, we ask that those that are listening from afar and near, may this word fall and penetrate the heart. Excuse me. I don't know why I'm talking like that. Let it penetrate the heart, the mind, the soul. Let there be some resurrection. If there's deadness in the life, let this word of God resurrect some dead things in their life on tonight, Lord God. Lord God, we ask that you be with us on tonight. Help us to continue to do what you call us to do. Strengthen us, Lord God, as we go forth and teach your word. Let it fall in good ground. Good soil. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you would turn with me to the book of Revelation, it's Revelation, the third chapter, and the title is Sardis, S-A-R-D-I-S, the Dead Church. So, let's go to the scriptures. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars. And we'll be speaking on that in a little bit. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. You hear that rebuke? Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So I wanted to just read the scriptures before we get into our teaching on Sardis, the dead church. And I want you to think about some things. You know, we see a lot of churches nowadays, they big, beautiful edifices. Oh, gorgeous, beautiful buildings. And but you have to wonder, when you look at some of the, quote, Christians come out of there, what kind of characteristics are they possessing? You know, to me, characteristics of a Christian is a reflection on what is being taught at the church. That church is to equip the saints, to help them to grow, to strengthen them, mature them in the things of God. That's what church is for. Church is not a social club, even though we come together and we have fellowship. But your church should be to build you up and equip you to go out into the world and become disciples. That's what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. He made disciples of them to go out into the highways and the byways and compel them. But if you're living like the world, how will you compel the world? Okay? So I wanted to bring out that Sardis, in the word Sardis means escaping ones or those who come out. You hear that? Escaping ones are those who come out. The seven spirits represents the completeness of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's ministry. The church in Sardis died because people did not let the Holy Spirit control their assembly. Did you hear that? It was dead because they had so many other functions going on, they didn't even allow for the Holy Spirit to come in and take over the service. They put the Holy Spirit on a time zone. They even put the preaching of the word. If you don't be out of here, stop preaching in 20 minutes, we're walking out of here. Because you're really just going for a form and fashion. But he said they did not allow, they did not let the Holy Spirit control their assembly. Christ does not just call the church to wake up from its death, D-E-A-T-H, sleep. He calls the congregation to remain awake, keeping watch as a sentry responsible for the safety of a sleeping army. So God is calling us to be awake. Be awake. You can't be sleeping nowadays. There's too much going on. The enemy is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So he's going from person to person, looking at your lifestyle, looking at how you're living, looking at is it contrary to the things of God? You can't afford to be asleep. Wake up, church. It's time to wake up. See, Christ challenges the members of the church to remember how he received and heard. It is to remind them of the Holy Spirit's importance. And I want to say this to you churches who are teaching against the Holy Spirit, God forbid. Because if you don't have the Holy Spirit operating in your church, guess what? You don't have God in your church. God classified that as a dead church. Holy Spirit should be in full operation at your church. You should always, when you go to church, you should see some manifestation of the Holy Spirit in full operation. From the altar call, to the singing, to the choirs. But see, we got too much entertainment going on. And the entertainment has taken the place of the Holy Spirit. So what you think is the Holy Spirit is really just entertainment. Because I'm going to say this, if that entertainment is not causing you to live a life that's pleasing to God, then it's just dead entertainment. It looks good, but it's dead. Amen? Okay, so let's go on. And when he said he would come upon you as a thief, as this is reference to the rapture, you know, we know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but there is a catching away in Thessalonians. It is most probably a warning against the sudden judgment that God would bring on the church at Smyrna, if it did not watch and repent. Okay? So God is saying as a thief in the night. So let's go over here. I wanted to just do some references over here in Matthew. And you know the story about the thief in the night. But let's read that. The parable of the wise and the foolish virgin. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. The oil is representation of the Holy Spirit. Took no oil with them. But the wise took the oil with their vessels, with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Did you hear what he said? So like I said, you can't be sleeping. You can't be slumbering. You don't want the day of the Lord to catch you unaware. Look, church, it's time for us to cry out and spare not. And I know you said, "Well, you guys been talking about the great catching away since our forefathers slept. Where is Jesus? We haven't saw him yet." But you could see all the prophecies being fulfilled even today. You could see things coming up on the world, up on the earth, that you have never saw since the beginning of time. This is why we teach the word. This is why we come to you live, because we know, we could feel the urgency in the air that God is coming back soon. You think it's going to be in your lifetime? Even if it's not, one day you're going to leave this earth. One day you will lay down and you will die. And you will shed this mortal body. But you don't want God to say to you, "You was an unfruitful, unfaithful servant." You see what I'm saying? Let's go on. And then I'm going to end it up. But the Lord, he has the Holy Spirit with all his power, grace, and operations. And this is what he charged him with. He said, hypocrisy, lamentable decay in religion. These are the sins that he charged Sardis with. Hypocrisy, lamentable decay in religion. But one who knew that well and all their works. So Jesus charged them because he knew them. He knew their works. He knew what they was about. Outward things also appeared well to men. You know, they looked well. The church, big, beautiful edifice, had it going on. They looked well to men, but there was only a form of godliness, not the power. What did I say earlier? Is do you see the power, the full power, demonstrated power going forth in your auditorium on Sunday? Or is it more entertainment? There was a great deadness in their souls. The souls wasn't resurrected. They were just going through the motions. They were hypocrites. They lived like, you know, one way on Sunday, and then when they got out to church, there was just deadness. Their souls were dead. In their services, dead. They were holy hypocrites, not H-O-L-Y, but W-H-O-L-L-Y, hypocrites. Others were disordered and lifeless state. Something dead, think about something dead. When you see a dead animal on the side of the road, that means that thing is lifeless. There's no life in it. It's a carcass. But there's no life. And this is how God don't want us to be like that. He don't want us to just be going through the motions. Going to church on Sunday and you just going through the motions. But you literally dead because you don't allow the Holy Spirit to resurrect some dead things in your life. Our Lord called upon them to be watchful against their enemies and to be active and earnest in their duties and to endeavor in dependence on the grace of the Holy Spirit to revive and strengthen the faith and spiritual affections of those yet alive to God. I know there's some erroneous teaching going on that tells you once you get saved, we know Jesus did it all on the cross. That's true. But what they tell you that you don't even have to live a life pleasing to God. You don't even have to try to present your body as a living sacrifice to God. Christ did everything he's going to do on that cross. He is never going to get back up on that cross and die for you. But the resurrected power of the Holy Spirit can strengthen you and mature you where you can grow in the things of God. Don't use your liberty as an occasion to sin. Don't become a hypocrite, living one way at church and then doing some living like the devil outside of church. Let the Holy Spirit revive you and strengthen you. Amen? Whenever we are off watch, we lose ground. We got one of the greatest militaries in the world. And my son was in the Navy, and he said they would put men on watch 24 hours a day, 24/7. Watch, watch, watch. If we don't have watchmen sitting on the wall at the churches, the enemy comes in and he plants tares, he plants seeds of discord. That's why we have to watch and pray. Because if you're not watching, you slumber, you sleep. And that's when the enemy comes in. He said, the works are hollow and empty. Prayers are not filled up with holy desires. Alms, deeds, not filled up with true charity. Think of that. Sabbaths, not filled up with suitable devotion of soul to God. There are not inward affections suitable to outward acts and expressions. When the spirit is wanting, the form cannot long remain. And seeking a revival in our own souls or our souls of others, it is needful to compare what we profess with the manner in which we go on, that we may be humbled and quickened. You hear that? To hold fast that which remains. Christ enforces his counsel and dreadful threatening if he should be despised. Yet our blessed Lord does not leave the sinful people without some encouragement. And that's because he loves us. So who is man that God is mindful of him? That's how he loves us. He said, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment. The purity of grace shall be rewarded with the perfect purity of glory. So he is promising you, just hold out. I know it get hard sometimes. I know sometimes you feel like, why am I doing what I'm doing? But he said, just hold out. Because he looks at that honorably. Don't compromise your faith. I don't care what it looks like. Don't compromise your walk with God to try to please the world. Because I want to please him. Not so much concerned with pleasing the world. Because the world going to pass away anyway. Amen? He said, but Christ has a book of life, a register of all who shall inherit in eternal life. The book of remembrance of all who live to God. And keep up the life and the power of godliness in evil times. Saints, we're living in some evil times. Even Hollywood, they make mockery of Christians. We have gotten so lackadaisical that the world makes fun of the church. They laugh at us. Because they don't see no power. They don't see the Holy Spirit going forth. We need some prophets to stand up and call judgment down. They make fun of us. They even got comedy shows up. I tell you, preachers of L.A. and preachers of Atlanta, preachers of, you know, it's a mockery. When the world can look at the church and make a mockery of the church, something is wrong. Let's go on. Christ will bring forth this book of life and show the names of the faithful before God and all the angels at the great day. And this is what, these are the encouraging words. God sees your work. What you do for God will last. And I don't want you to get disheartened because, you know, sometimes it seems like nobody is hearing you, nobody want to hear it. But there's somebody out there want to hear the truth. Bishop and I, we're going to keep bringing you the truth. And we know God wants you to hear this word. God wants you to be set free, delivered, whole. So let me ask the question to you today in closing. Is there some dead things in your life that you need to resurrect? Only through the Holy Spirit can you revive those dead things. Yeah, we talk about revival, but it begins with us first. Lord, resurrect some dead things that you want to bring alive in my life. Amen. So like I said, if you would like prayer, feel free to send us an email. We love to hear emails. And if we are an encouragement to you, just send us an email, klgm77@gmail.com. We're in the process of getting our website back on the air. So with that, I'm closing. And I'm going to turn this segment over to my husband, Pastor Bobby Montgomery. Amen. Let you sit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for that word coming from Evangelist Montgomery. And we're going to go a little bit further into the Church of Sardis. I wanted to bring out that particular church, I want to give you a little history of the church, because it wasn't a small or insignificant body of believers or church. Matter of fact, I'm going to get into that just a little bit, but I want to bring out some other things in reference to that particular church. Coming out of Revelation 3, starting at the first verse, talking about the church of Sardis, which Jesus, our Lord and Savior, said was the dead church. Said it just looked like it was alive because it looked good. From the outward appearance, it looked like everything was fine according to the church world at that time. What I wanted to bring out, a scripture here and bring out a little bit in reference to other scriptures tied to this scripture. Sardis 3:3 reads, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Now there are three other passages of scripture that I want to bring out to you. Luke 12:39-40, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2-6, and 2 Peter 3:10. And I like to bring out other scriptures connected to these scriptures so you can get a full understanding of what they're saying. Now, I'm going to go to Luke 12:39-40, and I'm going to read this to you so that you can understand that this is the word of the Lord speaking, and he was speaking to in Revelation to the seven churches, but these were things that he had said during his ministry when he was in the flesh. He said these very same things. So I'm going to read this to you. Luke 12:39-40, and it reads like this. "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at the hour when ye think not. Now Jesus said this before there was a church of Sardis. You see, he had put this warning out there before these churches were ever born. But you have to remember, the church age started with our Lord and Savior. And churches really didn't start until after our Savior died, buried, and was resurrected, because the apostles had not gone out. They were still with Jesus Christ, learning of him. So Jesus spoke these things before the church ever existed, because he was the starting or the head of the church, and he was still alive. Okay? So the Lord had already put this warning out there. So the apostles came on the scene, and they taught the same things that Jesus taught them, but he had gave this warning. Now let me go to another particular part of scripture, and then I'm going to go to some other things. All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. Let's go ahead and see what they're talking about in there. All right. All right. 5:2-6. And it reads like this. For yourselves, this is 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. So you can see that I'm not just talking off the top of my head. This is the word of the Lord. All right. He says, 1 Thessalonians 5:2-6. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, and that day should not overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Interesting. That's another warning. Now, this is what Paul was saying to the church at Thessalonica. He said that, another warning. And then come right back in Revelation, and Jesus said the same thing to the church of Sardis. Interesting. Now, in 2 Peter 3:10, let me go there, and then I'm going to bring out some other things to you in reference to what we're talking about. And let me see here. Okay, there it is. See, I like to bring things to you straight out of the Word of God. Because if you're going to fuss at something or get mad at something, then you get mad at the Word. You go to the Word and you deal with that. Because I'm not telling you anything that's just off the top of my head. I'm giving you straight the Word of God. So we're going to 2 Peter 3, and I'm going to read something else to you. And then we're going to talk about Sardis a little more. Give you a little bit of a history about Sardis so that you can fully understand exactly what was going on at the time that Jesus gave John this warning in reference to that particular church. All right, we're at 2 Peter 3, and the verse that we want to bring out is verse 10, but I'm going to read a few scriptures of you before that. I'm starting at the 8th verse. But believe, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, but not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Listen to this. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation, and godliness. Now, that was the area in which our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was addressing to Sardis, because he said they looked alive. They seemed like everything was well, but on the inside, they were dead. Their relationship with the Lord was not as it should have been, but to the outward appearance, it seemed that they were fully alive. But Jesus said it wasn't so. Let me bring some more things to you, and then I'm going to go into the history of Sardis, the physical history of Sardis. I want to bring out something to you. But this is what Jesus was seeing with Sardis. Now, you have to remember, our Lord and Savior, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, doesn't just look at our outward appearance. He looks at our heart. He sees our heart. He sees how we really are. We only see what you look like on the outside. Matter of fact, you have many individuals who can put a mask on and wear that mask so efficiently, they could truly be hurting and dying, but they look like they're happy. They look like they're full of joy, but on the inside, they're dying. But they give and they look like they're happy, but they're really very sad, very depressed, very emotionally distraught. But looking at them, they got you deceived. Everyone on the face of the earth needs our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why he addressed the seven churches of Revelation. Because every man, woman, and child needs Christ Jesus. And he's there for all of us. Every human being on the face of the earth needs God, needs Jesus. Needs to be saved, need to be filled with the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Desperately now. Desperately now. Let me bring some more information out to you in reference to Sardis. Now, Sardis was 30 miles southeast of Thyatira, was one of the most ancient cities in Asia Minor. They were founded around 1200 BC. In AD 17, an earthquake destroyed Sardis and Philadelphia. That was known as in verse 7. But it was later rebuilt with the help of Emperor Augustus. The people of Sardis were fascinated. Listen at this. I'm going to repeat this. The people of Sardis were fascinated with death and immortality. And Jesus said there was a dead church. But they were fascinated with death and immortality, observing the fertility cycles of nature and the worship of Artemis, the fertility goddess. See, that's what was going on in Sardis. On the seven spirits of God, on the seven stars, name here means reputation. There is no praise for the church in Sardis. Our Lord and Savior didn't have one good thing to say about this particular church in that city of Sardis. I'm going to bring out some more information on Sardis in just a moment. And the Lord's criticism is haunting. Spiritually, they were as good as dead. There was no spiritual life in them at all, according to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I will say this. You don't want to be like that, because Jesus Christ, we recognize the church as, you know, brick and mortar. We recognize that, you know, a foundation, brick, mortar, wood, all those things like that, some windows, doors. We understand all that. But the scripture tells us that we are the church. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is not just talking to a particular church body. He's talking to each and every individual person that is in that, church. So he's taking it straight to you and to me. And so if you have no connection with God or with Jesus and your spirit is dead, then that's what the Lord is looking at. So we don't want to be individual Sardis churches. We want to be alive, and we can only be alive through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, following his word and obeying him and keeping his commandments and living upright and doing the things that he would have us to do on this earth. We are representation of the kingdom of God on earth. We are. You see? And that's what Jesus was talking to these churches about. Their representation, their name, their reputation. We have a reputation to uphold, and that reputation is in Christ Jesus. We have to be images of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not Jesus Christ, but we can be like him because he resides in us. And he has given us his Holy Spirit or his Holy Ghost, where we can be like they first called the Christians at Antioch. They called them Christians first at Antioch. Why? Because they acted like Christ. They look like Christ. They act like Christ. They talk like Christ. And so they called them Christians because they had a recollection of how Christ was. Interesting, isn't it? Let me read on. It says, this letter is intended by the Lord as an urgent spiritual wake-up call. If the church at Sardis did not strengthen what remained spiritually, they would die because they had not followed through on the works that honored God. Works that honor God. What Peter said, that we should be concerned with our lifestyle, to strive to be holy and righteous, not according to the world's standard, but according to Christ's standard, according to God's standard. No, we can't follow the world and their actions. We can't look like the world. We can't act like the world. We can't talk like the world. Not when we are of the kingdom of God. Not when we have been adopted into the family of God. Not when we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. There is a standard that we have to keep. We are not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. This world is not our home according to the word of God. We're just pilgrims and strangers. We're just here for a little while. And we're here to proclaim the kingdom of God, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is wrapped up in him. Everything is wrapped up in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we need to proclaim him. He told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And to stand up and be like Christ on this earth by and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it on our own. But we can do it in Christ. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me and strengthens you. So we can be a mirror image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and present the kingdom of God on the earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it says in the Lord's Prayer. So we represent What does it say? The name meant means reputation. Sardis. The name means reputation. It said, I know thy work that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Jesus said, your reputation is saying you're dead. Your reputation is saying that you're not alive according to what Jesus says life is. Let me read a little bit more here. The church of Sardis was called to remember God's blessings and repent of their failures. Twice in the city's history, listen to this, twice in the city's history, Sardis was captured because it failed to watch out for its enemies. I'm going to bring you some information on Sardis in just a minute and let you see the reality of that. But Jesus said a few people had remained faithful to the Lord. To be dressed in white was to be done, was to don the garb of the victor. That's what to be dressed in white means. Victory. To don the garb of the victory means you overcome. You mean you fought the battle. You put up a good fight, but you won. And as a result of winning, you were able to wear this white robe. It signified victory. Now, we know white also signifies purity also, but in this particular instance, it signified victory. Whose lifestyle was worthy both of heaven and of returning with Christ at his second coming. The book of life contains the name of each person who was eternally elect. He that hath an ear, said, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I just want to bring that out a little bit. Now I want to talk a little bit about that particular city that Jesus addressed. Now, what I want to bring out is this. Sardis was not just an insignificant city. Sardis was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. Did you hear what I said? Sardis was one of the greatest cities of the ancient world. That particular city was located on the banks of the Pactolus River, and it was about 60 miles inland from Ephesus and Smyrna. It says the city was home to the famous Bishop Melito in the second century. But look at this. In that particular city, the temple of Artemis was there. Now, Artemis was the main goddess of the city, and the temple dedicated to her in Sardis was one of the seven largest Greek temples. As I said, they had some things going on there, but the things they had going on there was not in reference to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It wasn't. It was in reference to false gods. It was in reference to demigods, not to Christ. So you see what the believers was up against. And that's what they worshiped in. And Jesus was speaking to them in that regard. Now, it was one of the seven largest Greek temples. It was more than double the size of the Parthenon. Now, Artemis was known as Diana by the Romans and was the daughter of Zeus and twin of Apollo. She was the goddess of the hunt, the moon, and fertility. So you can imagine what was going on in that city of those people who had not accepted Christ. And if the church of Sardis was dead on the inside and they looked good, some of the members may have been participating in some of this temple worship. But God knew, the Lord knew, and he addressed all that. Now it says, and unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest, going back over scripture, and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. In other words, When the Lord speaks of something dying in our life, what he's speaking of is our old nature that was connected to the world. The things you used to do, you don't do anymore. Those things die. We should die to the world, not to Christ. We are alive in Christ Jesus, but we are dead to the world. We are dead to all this temple worship, all this false god worship. We are dead to all the worldly things that used to have us bound up. That's what he means when he says, die to something. He doesn't mean to roll up in a ball and die to everything, but die to the things that had you bound and was destroying you. Die to drugs, die to alcohol. Yes, die to stealing, die to lying. Die to fornication. Die to all these things that you know are wrong. You know it. You know it doesn't please God. The Lord is saying you die to those things and live for Christ. That's what he's saying. Now, let me read some more things here. That are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. And he said, if thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Revelation 3:1-3. Now that's what he said. So where are you now? Where are we now? Are we still in Sardis? Are we still like Sardis? After all these warnings that our Lord and Savior has given to us? What should we do? How should we act? He says to repent. Now, one thing about this nation, they have now people will pray, people will go to church, people will read their Bible. You know, they'll do a lot of different things. But that word repent is strange to many people in this country because they'll say they have repented, but there is no change in their life. Huh? What is that? You repent, you go to church, you repent, and then after you repent, you're the same way as you were before you repented. And repentance means to turn from something, to change. If you repented from going north, then you'll stop going north. I know it sounds simple. If you repented from lying, then that means you stop lying. You repented from that. You turn from that. You change from that. Jesus is telling all these churches, especially Sardis, to repent. He said, repent from being dead. And come and be alive in him. Some of you out there, you know where you are in Christ. You know it. You know you're not alive as you should be. Repent from that. Jesus is right there. He'll make you alive. But it's only through Christ. You can't do it on your own. If you could, you would have already. If you could save yourself, if you could make yourself righteous according to the righteousness of the Savior Jesus Christ, according to the righteousness of our Father God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you could make yourself righteousness according to his standard, then our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would not have had to come and die on the cross for our salvation. Because we could have done it ourselves. But we can't do it. Because of the fall, because of something that happened thousands of years ago, we need our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to make it into the kingdom of God. It's on the way. Now, I hear a lot of people saying, just like what we're reading here, the Temple of Artemis, you have all these false gods, and people are still trying to say the same thing today. Well, you got many ways to get to God. I mean, all these different religions will eventually get you to the kingdom of God, will get you to heaven, or get you to wherever God has for us when we part this natural life. But I'm telling you, there's only one way, and that way is through Christ Jesus. But furthermore, he is the only one that came out of heaven, lived on this earth, being spotless, and had no sin, in which a lot of people don't want to believe, but our Lord and Savior Jesus, he had no sin. There was no sin in him. He was the perfect sacrifice for our salvation. And not only that, he did what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to take up his life again after he was crucified. And he did that. But there was no other man on the face of the earth who did that. Buddha couldn't do it. Muhammad couldn't do it. Confucius couldn't do it. Buddha couldn't do it. No man could do that and come back to life and then ascend into heaven and then send the Holy Ghost back here for us so that we could always have communication with our Lord and Savior and with our Father God through Jesus Christ. There's no one in history from the face of the earth that did what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us because he loved us that much. That he sacrificed and gave himself the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice for us. And then again, too, he loved us so much that when he saw these churches going astray, he sent special word and special letters to them. Through his apostles, the very ones that walked with him, while he was walking on the earth in the flesh, he sent word to them to correct them in their ways so they wouldn't be lost. Now, as I mentioned before, Sardis, that city had it going on. It's wealthy. One of the largest cities and one of the greatest cities in the ancient world, and they were one of the oldest cities in the ancient world. They were like a Roman province. Rome had a lot to do with that city. But Rome had also a lot to do with the worship. But Jesus looked at the believers there and said, look, you all will have to get your act together. I'm not pleased with what you're doing. Yo, you look good. You look good. You look good. The church, you know, that you got your functions going on. You got your choir, they sing. It sound good. Preacher, you might have a pretty good message. The building is beautiful. But your heart is not there. You're dead on the inside. What you going to do about that, Sardis? Because I'm getting ready to come. And if you will not take my warning, I'm going to just cut you off. That's it. That's it. Cut you off. Some of you out there, you're just like Sardis. God has warned you. He's been talking to you for a long time. He's been sending believers your way. He's been putting it in your heart to come back to me. He's been putting it in your heart to get in God's word. He's been putting it in your heart to come back alive. Come back alive. And in order to come back alive, you got to come to Jesus. Some of you out there, you know that he's calling you. And then you're making up excuses. You're saying, tomorrow, I'll do it when I get ready. Well, I'll say this to you, brothers and sisters. When the Lord is calling you, then you're ready. Did you hear me? When the Lord is calling you, and you know that the Lord is calling you, you know that he's dealing with your heart. You know that he's dealing with your mind. You know the things that's happening in your life is not just circumstance. You know that that's the Lord. See, one thing about it, you don't know what's happening on tomorrow. You think you know your future, but you don't know it. No man knows the future. They think they know, but they don't know. But God knows the future because he's holding the hand. God controls time and space. We don't. We can say we do. We can think we do. But we don't. Because there's some people that thought that tomorrow they were going to, like James said, they're going to get up and do this, that, and the other. But James said your life is like a vapor. It's here one minute and gone the next. You don't have any control over your life like what you think. You have no control over the future like what you think. But God does. So what am I saying? And I'm not trying to frighten anyone. But you might not even be here tomorrow. You're not promised tomorrow. But the moment that you are alive, you have that moment. And when the Lord is calling you in that moment, then you're ready to repent. You're ready to turn away from death and accept life in Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord told Sardis. He said, you're dead. You're dead. You're like a bag of bones. There's no life in you because your life is in Christ. And that's to everybody. Every human being out there, their real true life is in Christ Jesus because he is the giver of life. And he has always been the giver of life. When he breathed into Adam, Adam became a living soul. He was dirt and dust before God breathed in him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So life has always come from God. So you say, well, I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm walking, I'm talking. Yeah, but God is talking about your spiritual life, the real you. That real you come from God. And God wants the real you to be alive in him. So how are you going to be alive in him? Through Christ Jesus, like what Jesus told Sardis and all the other churches. And so now he's talking to you. So what are you going to do about it? The choice is yours. The choice is yours. The Lord God put it out there through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's up to you to make the choice. Will you repent? Will you come alive in Christ Jesus? Will you stop being a zombie? Will you stop being the walking dead? thriving on things that are dead. God wants you to be, thank you, Jesus, He wants you to be alive. God is not the cause of all this death and destruction. No, the enemy is, the devil is, and men, they are the cause of all this garbage that's going on in the world. Don't blame God. When you make choices to do evil, when you side with the enemy to do what you know is wrong, and then when you do it, you blame God for it because you won't repent, because you won't accept Him as Savior, because you want to participate in the synagogue of Satan, as Jesus had reprimanded and spoken of in reference to the other churches in Revelation of the seven churches. Don't want to be like that. Because you reap what you sow. Well, let me go on into this and just start this a little more. I want to just bring out a little history of the church so you can see what's going on. And many, and as Evangelist Montgomery said earlier, you cannot just go by what a building looks like or what a person looks like. You have to go by what's in your heart. That's the you can't judge anybody but yourself, truly. Because every individual has to answer to God for themselves. You can't answer to God for that person over there. Because when you stand before the Lord, it's going to be just you and the Lord. Even though it can be millions and billions of people, it's going to be you and the Lord. He's not going to be talking to anybody else. He's going to be talking directly to you. And you're going to have to answer to Him on your own. You can't fault anybody else. You can't say, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Well, you can't tell the Lord that. You can't point at anyone else. Well, Lord, I didn't hear. I didn't hear you. I didn't understand. I didn't know. I know. Because He knows that you know. He made a way for you to know. He's got people preaching every day. You got the Word of God. You got more Bibles in America probably than in any place on the face of the earth. There's more gospel being preached in America than just about anywhere on the face of the earth. So you're without excuse. You're without excuse. There's no excuse for you to be lost. There's no excuse for you not to repent and accept the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's no excuse. Just like Sardis, he told him point blank, you look good, might smell good, got plenty of money, nice house, best ride on the block, go to church every Sunday, but there's nothing there. There's no life in you. Then he said to wake up from this sleep, from this death. Wake up from it. I'm calling you. I see where you are. I want you to live. I want you to be alive. And I want you to spread that life of Christ to others by your life, by your name, by your reputation in Christ. That's what the Lord is talking about today. He's always been talking about that. But see, right now, the time is short. I know. You've been hearing that for a long time. But look around you. Look at the things that's going on. Look at what's happening in the world. There's things that's happening in the world that I have never seen before in my life. And there's things happening in the world that you have never seen in your life. So what you're going to say, that, well, that's just coincidence, that's just things that's going to happen, but it's spoken in the Word of God that these things are going to happen thousands of years before it happened, and now it's happening. So what you going to believe? And you still have some folks out there talking about there is no God, but they're breathing every day. How do you know that the breath that you're breathing is not God? How do you know that? You say, well, it's just air. Well, yeah, it just could be God's air that you're breathing that's keeping you alive. But you're trying to say that God don't exist because of something that happened? Or because an unrepentant prayer that you threw up because you was desperate at one time and you wanted him to do something for you, and because he didn't do it the way you think he should have done it, then all of a sudden he doesn't exist. Oh, God don't exist because this happened or that happened. Well, if you believe that there's evil stuff out there and you believe there's a devil out there, you can't have just one side. It doesn't work that way. It's either up or it's down. It's north or south. It's east or west. If there's a devil, there's a God. If there's evil, there's good. But you can't blame God for what you and the devil do. Huh? What? And that seems to be the way of man. Well, it didn't happen. Well, my dog died of. Car ran over my dog, so therefore there can't be no God because I love the dog and God let the dog die. Well, the man that hit the dog, that drunk the liquor and was driving drunk, made a choice to drive the car drunk and ran over the dog. And you saying it's God's fault. Well, that's how people do. You say, well, what does that have to do with everything, with anything? Well, it has a lot to do with a lot of things because people make choices to do evil and then blame God for it, like Sardis. They made the choice to be a zombie, to be the walking dead, and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ caught them in it and said, you need to come alive. Stop being like that. Come alive in Christ Jesus. That's it. Stop faking it. I say it again. Stop faking it. And be true to yourself. And be true to God. And walk in the strength of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And you come alive. Stop with all this foolishness. If you're going to be in the Lord, be in the Lord. If not, then just go your way. But you're still going to have to answer to God. One thing about it, one thing that we cannot get away from, and that is this physical, natural death. One day we're going to close our eyes for the last time. And when you close your eyes for the last time, you're going to find out that everything that was spoken in Scripture and everything that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said is going to be true. Like the Scripture says, once to die, but then there's the judgment. But the Lord is warning us and admonishing us to come alive in Him. He's already made the way. Only thing you have to do is accept it. But let me give you a little more history of Sardis. And the reason I'm giving you this history like this is to let you know that, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. The very same thing that we're going through now is the same thing that people went through then. So when Jesus spoke to those seven churches of Revelations, or the seven churches of Asia, he's still speaking to us today. Because some of the modern churches of today have those same characteristics of the seven churches of Asia. It's the same thing, we just modern. That's all. Instead of riding on horseback and chariots, we're just driving cars. That's all. That's all. Driving cars, flying in airplanes, riding in trains. But the spirits are still the same. The seven churches of Asia, those things that were happening in those churches are still happening today all over the world. So it's still relevant. What Jesus said to those churches is still relevant today, and what we're going to do about it. I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm drawing as close to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as I possibly humanly can, and I'm going to tell the truth to as many people as I can, as often as I can. Because the time is short. Jesus said he's coming back, and I believe it. And he's coming back very soon. Because how do I know? Because I'm looking around me and I'm seeing what the Bible says is happening. It's happening today. As we speak, it's happening. As I'm speaking on this broadcast, it's happening while I'm speaking tonight. As you are listening to what I'm saying, the Lord is on his way back. So that means that we have to prepare ourselves. We have to gird up our loins. We have to fight the good fight. We have to be alive in Christ Jesus. We do. We do. We do. There's no in-between. There's no neutral zone. There's no gray area. It's Christ and life, or it's Satan and death. But in Christ is abundant life. So you have life in this natural life, and then you have life after you pass on. So you really never really die, just like Jesus said. You never really die. You go from one realm of reality to another realm of reality in Christ. You go from one stage of life to another stage of life in Christ. But it's only in Christ. Read a few things to you, and then we're going to be shutting down. Time is just about up. But I just want to bring these things to your attention. You can't just look at the outward appearance of anything and make that particular judgment. Because, as I said before, his vision is not like ours. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yahweh, Jehovah, his ways are so far above our ways. His thoughts are so far above our thoughts that we can't even fathom the things of God like that. He gives us what we need to survive and make it. He gives us what we need to make connections with him. And what he gives us, we can operate in that. But some of the things that he gives us, we can't even handle it. It's hard for us to even handle the knowledge that he's given us today. It's hard for us to comprehend the word of God. So how can we presume to think that we can understand the thought processes of our Father God. When we have a problem understanding salvation, we have a problem understanding our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Some of us don't even believe the Word of God is the Word of God. But we want to match wits with the Lord and say, why did he do this? And why did he do that? And why did he allow this? And what's this and what's that? But it's hard for us to even understand salvation. It's hard for us to understand the simplicity of the Word of God, which is written and simplified for us, that we might obtain eternal life. You say, well, why am I saying these things? I'm saying these things because of what God has said in his word. And what God has said to the seven churches of Asia and the seven churches of Revelation, which is relevant to us today. So, yes, I'm going to say that. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to bring out a little bit of this, a little bit more of the history of Sardis and some of the things that they had to let you know that we can be caught up in what things look like or the pleasures of this world or the buildings of this world. Although nice things are nice things, but we don't want to get caught up in that. That is a snare to pull us away from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's all I'm saying. We don't want those things to kill our relationship with the Lord. Now, I'm going to read some more things to you now. I talked about the Acropolis, which was that city of Sardis. We talked about the Temple of Artemis, which was some of the worship that was going on at that time. But now they had some gymnasiums, some bathhouses, some things just like today. But let's say a large complex built in the center of the lower city in 2nd century AD included a gymnasium and a bathhouse. It said the complex was over 5 acres in size, and its western part was characterized by large vaulted halls for bathing. The eastern part was a palestra, a large open courtyard for exercise. You see? They said the synagogue of Sardis is notable for its size and location. In size, it is one of the largest ancient synagogues excavated. You see what I see? They have one of the grandest temples in the ancient world. But in that particular synagogue, and they had this other temple of Artemis, and both of them were beautiful. But the temple, the synagogue that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was talking about, although it was beautiful, although it was large, there was no life in it. And say, It was located and found in the center of the urban center. It was a periphery as synagogues typically were. And so it attested to the strength of the Jewish community that was there at that particular time. But Jesus said that they had a name that they were alive. But Jesus said, spiritually, they were dead. You don't want to have a name that you a Christ follower, a believer, a Christian. But Jesus is looking at you and dead. In other words, you have no relationship with Jesus. You have no relationship. He doesn't know you. If you're dead, dead things don't talk. So you have to be careful that we have a living, working relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I would say this. The Lord Jesus has made a way for us to become alive. Only thing you have to do is accept the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Only thing you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and that God has raised him from the dead. The scripture said that will be your salvation. He says, with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. With the heart, man believeth to salvation. Mouth confession is made to salvation. The heart believeth to righteousness in Christ Jesus. So if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that God hath raised him from the dead, he says you shall be saved. And another scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's all you have to do. Confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. So right now we're going to, our time is just about up. So we're going to close off. Now, I'm going to say this in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we thank you for everyone that listened on tonight. Father God, we ask that you touch their hearts and their minds, that they would repent and that they would receive your Savior, Lord Jesus. Father God, I ask that you give them complete revelation of your word. Touch their mind and their heart. Give them a revelation and knowledge of your word, that they would seek you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Father God, I come against every spirit that would hinder. I come against all spirits of depression and oppression. Lord God, I speak healing and deliverance to your people right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. I look forward to being with y'all on our next broadcast, and we will continue in the book of Revelation. Our next book, I believe, will be Philadelphia. Yes, we're going to talk about the Church of Philadelphia that got a attaboy, or God was pleased with that Church of Philadelphia. And then we're going to another part of Revelation. But y'all out there, I thank you for listening and watching. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. That is the end of our broadcast, and we're looking forward to seeing you all listening to us next week. Be blessed.